All right. Hello, everybody. This is Grace Aaron, the Pacifica National Board Chair. This is our open meeting for Friday, February 20th, 2009. That's now. And I'm calling the meeting to order. And I'd like to introduce Recording Secretary Richard Uzel, who will take the role.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to do the role a little bit differently than you have been doing it. You have been doing it strictly as an alphabetical order. I'm going to do alphabetical order, but by stations. And we'll start with KPFA. Sherry Gindelman.
Present.
Bonnie Simmons.
Here.
Andrea Turner.
Here.
Joseph Wanzala. Okay, Grace Aaron.
Here.
Sean O'Brien.
Here.
Leslie Rodford. Was that here? Rico Ross. Dr. George Ryder.
Here.
Sandra Rawline.
Present.
Wendy Strell.
Here.
Susan Young.
Here.
Nia Bediako. Carolyn Burton.
Here.
Kathy Davis.
Here.
James Ross.
Here.
James Brown. A.C. Bird.
Oh, yeah. Hello? No, Jim Brown. Jim Brown, not James Brown.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay, got you, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
A.C. Bird.
Yeah.
Lucette King. David Beaton.
Here.
Fia Wangaza.
Here.
Our interim CFO, LaVarn Williams. Our interim general counsel, Ricardo De Andra.
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Rico Ross is here, too.
Rico.
LaVarn Williams here.
Okay. Anyone else here who hasn't heard their name called?
Should I go back over the ones that I don't have?
I
Leslie
think that...
Radford is on the line.
Okay, there we go, Leslie. sure, go over the ones that we haven't gotten yet, Richard.
Joseph Wanzala. Nia Bediako. Lizette King, and I think those are the only ones that we haven't heard from yet.
Okay, thank you very much, Richard. The next thing on the agenda is to approve the agenda. Does everyone have it in front of them? Are there any additions, changes, amendments?
This is Kathy.
Yes.
My internet is down. Would it be possible to read the agenda?
Okay, Richard, do you have it in front of you? Or
yes, I do.
Okay, would it be okay for you to read it?
Sure. Number one is call to order. We've just done that. Number two, the proof, the agenda. Number three is to approve the minutes. There are five groups of minutes. Number four is acknowledgments. Number five is report from the chair, the interim. Executive Director. Number six is introduction of and report from Interim General Counsel. Number seven is report from Interim Chief Finance Officer. Number eight is committee reports. Under that we have an A as consent, add Leslie Radford to
Welcome
archives.
Powered by Ring 2. Enter an access code.
B is the National Finance Committee report. And then there are two motions from the Finance Committee, and then it's adjourn the open meeting.
Thank you, Richard. Kathy, when we get to the motions, we'll read those for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are there any additions, amendments, or changes in the agenda?
Yes, Grace. I'd like to add, this is Leslie, I'd like to add under committee reports, convening unconvened committees. There are several that have not yet had a meeting or a meeting date proposed.
Okay, so if it's okay with the body, we'll put that as number C under committee reports.
And what was that?
Convening unconvened committees.
Okay.
I know how to mute.
Okay. And we'll give that 5 minutes, if that's all right with the body. Any objection
hello?
To yes, is this another addition?
Yes, this is Sandra, and I would like to add the verification of the ICFO references and work history and job references having been approved.
Okay, ICFO references.
Uh-huh.
Okay, why don't we put that right after acknowledgments.
Okay.
As number 4A, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, and we'll give that, how many minutes do you need?
Just a minute or two.
Okay, so we'll give it 2 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, I'll ask if there are any other amendments or additions to this agenda. Hearing none, are there any objections to approving this agenda as amended? All right, the total meeting time, since we've added 5 minutes and another 2 minutes, will be 67 minutes total. All right, the next thing is to approve minutes. I just wanted to say that we really need to approve a whole lot of back minutes that haven't been approved, and this is needed. Some of these minutes are needed for legal matters, so that's the part of the importance of this. So I sent you all the emails with the minutes in them, and we'll start off with January 4th. Does anyone have...
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, yeah, Andrea here. For those of us who were not on the board, do we vote on those?
As board members who have just newly been seated did not attend these meetings, I suggest that you abstain when the vote comes to regarding approving the minutes. That would be my suggestion.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Do we have the meeting minutes for January 4th in front of us? Are there any corrections, changes to this set of minutes? Hearing none, can I entertain a motion to approve this set of minutes?
So moved, George.
All right. Okay. Any objection? Okay. Any objection to approving that set of minutes?
Yes. Could you review those minutes? I don't have them.
Okay. I sent them all out to you by email, but we can note your objection in the minutes, and if you see any error in that set of minutes, please inform us, and we can always put that on a future agenda. Now, let's go on to the minutes for January 30th. Are there any changes, amendments, additions, corrections to that set of minutes? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes for the open meeting on January 30th, 2009.
So moved. This is Susan Young.
Okay.
I raise the same objection.
Okay. Does anyone second?
Second.
All right. Are there any further objections?
Who was the second?
Yes.
Oh, Jamie.
This is Leslie Radford. I have one small correction. Somehow we missed January 23rd, and we moved up to January 30th, yes?
Okay.
I would like
I would think that Rafael's name be listed as Juan Rafael Santos. As it's currently listed, it's simply Rafael.
Okay. Are we speaking about the January 30th minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
The body served a moment of silence in memory of Rafael is how it currently reads.
Okay. Richard, have you noted that correction, addition?
I'm going to depend on you doing that, Madam Chair.
Okay. Leslie,
We can talk about it later.
Okay. Leslie, can you email that correction, that addition to the board and to Richard?
Yep.
Or I can send it to Richard. I have his email address if you don't.
Okay. Thank you,
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Susan Young. I just wanted to make a comment about the January 23rd minutes.
Okay, can we just dispose of Leslie's correction? There's no objection to making that addition by the body, is there? All right, so then we'll put that correction, that addition in the minutes. January 3rd minutes, are they all executive session minutes for January 3rd?
No, Madam Chair, January 23rd minutes.
Yes.
The January 23rd minutes were approved in the open session were approved in the PNB meeting.
Okay.
On January 30 or 31. The January 23rd executive session minutes were not.
Thank you very much, Susan. Okay, now, is there any objection? Can I hear a motion? We do have a motion to approve the January 30th minutes. It's been seconded. A.C. Byrd did raise an objection. Are there any other objections to approving that set of minutes as amended by Leslie? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. Now we're on to January 31st, 2009. Are there any amendments, corrections? Pardon me?
Here's a small correction, George.
Okay.
Under 7 financial report, it says Brian Edwards Teeger. It's actually Teekert.
Thank you. George. I noticed in some of these minutes, in some of these minutes, there were minutes from Wendy. I'm taking a little bit of time here, but in the minutes from Wendy, Sherry Gendelman's last name, Gendelman, was spelled one way, and in the Donna Neiman minutes, it was spelled another way.
I probably got it wrong. I sometimes put M-E-N at the end. Is that what you mean?
No, I think it's one is D-E-L and the other one is D-L-E.
They're correct. It's correctly spelled in the January 31 minutes.
Okay, good. All right.
D-E-L is correct, right?
Yes.
Sherry, are you there to...
D-E-L is correct.
Pardon me?
Thank you.
D-E-L?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Where are we? Are we at January 31st? Richard, have you noted George's correction?
Like I say, Madam Chair, I'm going to figure that you're noting those and we'll
George, can you reiterate that? I'm sorry, I didn't get it.
Yeah. Number 7, Brian Edwards Teeger should be Edwards Teeger.
Okay, very good. Are there any other corrections to that set of minutes, additions?
Carolyn here. I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Mine end rather abruptly, and I don't know if I've lost the last page, but mine ends with 7, the financial report, but there's no adjournment. Is that an error, or is that how it's supposed to end? Am I missing a page?
Okay. This is Saturday, January 31st. Here we go. Financial report. You're not missing a page.
Mine ends with that. 5:55, the floor was open for public comments. And that's all I have.
And the meeting must have continued that evening. Well, it continued,
it
though, an executive session, didn't it? Does anyone recall?
Yes, yes.
Yes,
that's correct.
What happened.
It's, maybe it should say something like at, I don't know what time we ended the public session, but it was probably like 6:30, you know, whatever time it was, public session was ended for the day or something. We could add a line like that if, for clarity.
How about adding, can someone add something like a meeting adjourned at approximately 6:30?
Sure, for the day. Because it was sort of picked up again tomorrow.
Right, for the day. Richard, can you note that?
Meeting adjourned at approximately...
Public session adjourned at approximately... A public session adjourned for the day at approximately 6:30 p.m.
Okay, anyone second, Jamie's?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving the minutes as corrected? Hearing none, we'll go to the next set of minutes, which is, let's see, February 1st, 2009. Are there any corrections or additions to, or amendments to this set of minutes? Hearing none, I would entertain.
Wait.
Okay.
We're on February 1st. It's hard for me to read them on my, the way they were all in one thing. All the file names aren't there. Is this the one that talks about, is there mention in this one about alternates on committees?
I think it says PNB Sunday meeting.
Okay, I can see that. Does anyone know the answer to my question?
There was mention of alternates, I think, both on Saturday and on Sunday. Hang on a minute.
I have a correction about that.
Came through with the header Sunday meeting.
Has anyone been able to go back and listen to this about the alternate thing?
Yes, I did. It's George. The motion was ultimately tabled. No alternates were put on, and the motion was tabled.
Point of information, Jamie.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Which motion
was tabled?
Yeah, there's
Carolyn made a motion.
There's two motions that are mentioned here regarding alternates. One by Carolyn, one by Susan.
Susan's was passed. The one by Carolyn was tabled.
So
Carolyn's
Young
motion was to have the runner-up be the alternate, and there was some discussion about that, and we kind of ran out of time, and it was tabled.
Okay, and what happened to the other motion?
The other motion was passed without objection.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. And what did that motion say?
I think the language in the minutes is correct, but I will tell you, I don't think it is clear. Susan Young moved that once a single PNB director is elected per station, at that time, directors may identify themselves to serve as alternates and be accepted by the body. No objection.
Well, I could tell you I would have objected to that.
Well, I don't. I'll tell you that what I meant by that. I don't think this language is clear about.
Point of order. You could make it clearer, but it's not relevant whether Wendy would have objected or not. We're just
exactly. No, what I'm saying is, I think that this is an accurate statement of what I said. But what I meant was that essentially we the PN people would identify that they wanted to serve as alternates, and they would their names would come forward to the PNB, and the PNB would decide at that time. That's what I meant by accepted by the body.
Okay, I have a question.
But let me just say, subsequently, in a subsequent meeting, this whole issue has been referred to the Governance Committee.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
And that is in a subsequent meeting, and at the very least, one of the things being the maker of this motion, I don't think it's clear what an alternate is or is supposed to do.
Right.
So I think that that's one of the reasons why the board referred it to the Governance Committee.
Okay. I don't have any objection then.
Okay. Does anyone have any objection to approving the minutes as they are currently?
It's just one. Actually, I wrote some stuff in it. I'm not sure how much of it is already there. In number four in the committees, the third paragraph should say Carolyn Burden made a motion to allow runners-up to be alternate to be the alternates. Do you all have that, or was that something I added?
No, it's in here.
Yeah,
it's in there.
It's in there. Okay, fine. It's fine.
And that was tabled.
That was tabled. Yes.
Yeah, Carolyn Burden. I have a typo.
Okay, so we should add that the Carolyn's motion was tabled. Is that
it's
correct?
It's in there.
It's in there.
Oh, okay,
there.
Very good.
Well, not exactly. It says
the
table was made in second, but it didn't indicate that it actually passed without objection.
Without tabling.
Hers did not pass without objection. Hers was tabled.
It was tabled without objection.
Table the discussion and without objection. That means it was done.
Oh, that's it. Sean Casey O'Brien made a motion to table the discussion, seconded, no objection.
Okay.
Now, the Susan Young motion, no objection. All right. So these minutes, but George, what you're saying is basically these minutes are correct from your review of the audio. Okay. All right.
Burden here, I have one typo.
Okay.
Spelling of my name and number five, the list that follows that section we just immediately spoke about, B-I-R-D-E-N. But these Scrivener errors we can correct off.
Okay. Do you have that that correction, Richard?
Under the bank signatory, yes.
Okay, good. All right. I'm sure there's no objection to that minor typographical error. Is there any objection to accepting these minutes as slightly amended? Hearing none, we'll go to the next set of minutes, which is February 8th, 2009. Does anybody have any additions, corrections, amendments to this set of minutes?
This is Leslie, and yes, if I can find it quickly.
That's the one from me, right?
Yes.
Yes. Under number four, Roman numeral four, motion by Ryder, where it says Leslie wants to make it an interim appointment, that passed without objection.
What did I say?
It says Ryder motion passes by a vote of 13 to 2 and 3 abstentions.
Oh.
Ryder motion as amended. Or Leslie's amendment. It isn't even identified as an amendment here.
Where is that, Leslie?
Item four, motion by Ryder. That the PNB hired Richard Uzel. Excuse me, Richard.
Uzel,
thank you. As recording secretary for the PNB, blah, 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 Sandra seconded, having reading problems today. Leslie wants to make it an interim appointment. That was an amendment, and it passed without objection.
Okay, Richard. Do you have that?
Yes.
Okay, great. Is there any objection to Leslie's addition to that section of the minutes? Hearing none, that's approved. Does anyone have any objection to approving this set of minutes as amended by Leslie? Hearing none, I believe that completes the minutes that we need to approve tonight. Thank you very much, everyone, for your attention to this. Okay, next on the agenda is 5 minutes of acknowledgments. Who would like to start? All right, go ahead. Who's that?
LaVarne Williams.
LaVarne?
Yes. I'm not sure since this is my, well, actually, this is my second. But I'd like to acknowledge Lynn Magno, who has been like the backbone here at the finance office over the last year due to all of the issues. And that for the meeting in L.A., Lynn Magno actually stayed up all night to produce that report, finance report, because the year end for 08 had not closed. She had to do like a preliminary close in order to get those numbers, and she actually stayed up. And that goes above and beyond, and that's like truly one of those cases where, you know, we don't want to ever do that to an employee because we certainly don't want someone of that caliber to burn out. So really would like to acknowledge her work here in the finance office. And again,
thank you, Lynn.
Okay. I'll let her know. I think she's left. I'm going to have to move my car, but I'll wait until I give my report. But
okay. Thank you, LaVarne. And thank you, Lynn. Are there any other acknowledgments?
Yes, Dave Beaton.
Yes, Dave.
I'd like to acknowledge Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez celebrating their 13th year on the air.
Wow.
Woo-hoo!
Yay. Thanks, David. Any other acknowledgments? All right. If there's nobody else, I'd like to very much thank a number of people who have helped me with all kinds of tasks. Sophia for helping to interview the lawyers. That was pretty time-consuming. All the people who called up the references to check the lawyer references and to check the background references for LaVarne, and also all the work that was done to help put this agenda together, to check on the status of the minutes, whether they needed to be approved or not. All of that work, a lot of that work was done by Sandra. Susan did a lot of work. Carolyn did work on calling references. So I'd like to thank everybody who helped in the last few weeks on this board.
Great.
Okay, any other acknowledgments?
Well, let's just acknowledge Grace for working her ass off. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Grace. You're welcome. You're welcome.
W-A-O
okay.
Award.
All right. You're welcome. Are there any other acknowledgments? All right. Hearing none, I forgot to appoint a timekeeper. Who would like to volunteer to be timekeeper this evening?
Jamie, I would do it.
Great. You're appointed. The next thing on the agenda is my report is acting.
Laverne's recommendations and references.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry.
Laverne added.
Yeah, and who is going to take that up? Laverne's references.
This is Sandra, and I would just to briefly state that the personnel committee not meet quorum. The initial meeting tried to convene. So we're going to try again in the next week or so. But in the meantime, I want to acknowledge that Susan Young had contacted all the references provided for jobs and personal reference for LaVarne. And everything came back very favorable. And like to move that given we have been provided with acceptable references and previous to three, that the motion that we accept LaVar's references for the record.
Okay. Anyone second Sandra's motion?
Second.
This is Susan Young. I second.
Okay. Is there any objection to that motion?
Yes.
All right. Would you like to state your objection?
I haven't had the opportunity. I actually know one of the people who was called. I wrote to her also. I haven't received a response, and I object, so you can put it to a vote.
Okay.
Is that Sherry?
Mm-hmm. All right, why don't we go right to a vote on that motion then, if there's no objection to that. Richard, can you do a roll call vote?
Okay.
Madam Chair, just a question, a point of information. Are we voting on accepting LaVarne's references? Is that what we're doing? Is that the what we're
yeah.
voting on?
Do you want to state the exact wording of that, Sandra?
Will be.
Okay.
Move that Susan Young has verified all personal references and work for LaVar Williams, that be record and that she be accepted and that her references be accepted.
Point of information, Chair.
Yes. Lizette?
This is Lizette, yes. What was the objection?
Sherry made an objection.
What was it?
Do you want to reiterate your objection, Sherry?
I haven't had an opportunity to fully check them, and I've raised previous objections, and my objections remain the same.
Point of information again, was the matter to be dealt with by the board? The references, was it the board or the executive? Did we ever make a decision on that?
I believe it was most appropriately be done by the personnel committee. That would make sense. I don't recall exactly who was assigned that task. It may not have been assigned to any person or body.
We weren't all supposed to check them individually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So why don't we move to
the chair decided on who should do the checking. She just stated that.
The chair asked for volunteers to do the checking, basically.
And you did it.
Madam Chair, this is Sean. I call the question.
Okay. Is there any objection to ending debate on this motion? Hearing none, let's go to a roll call vote as there is at least one objection. Richard?
Okay. Sherry Gendelman?
No.
Bonnie Simmons?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Andrea Turner?
No, I wish I could have had a chance to see them.
Yeah. I did forward them to everybody.
No, I don't have them.
Right. Point of order. We're in the middle of a voting.
Exactly. Yes. Excuse me, Lizette. You're absolutely right. No, for my vote.
Is Joe Wanzala on now?
Yes.
Is your vote yes?
I vote yes.
Okay. Grace Aaron?
Yeah, I don't vote. I'm the chair.
Okay. Sean O'Brien?
Yes.
Leslie Radford?
No.
Rico Ross? Dr. George Ryder?
Yes.
Senator Rawline?
I vote yes.
Wendy Shrell?
Yes.
Susan Young?
Yes.
Nia Bediako, are you on now? Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Is that yes?
Yes, it is. All right.
It's off. Okay.
Katie Davis?
Yes.
James Ross?
Yes.
Amy. Jim Brown?
No.
AC Bird? Lucette King?
Yes.
David Beaton?
Yes.
Yeah. Wangaza?
Wangaza, yes.
Wangaza?
Yes.
Let's see who I missed.
I think Rico Ross.
Rico Ross?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I think Jim Brown.
Yeah, was that set out to everybody?
Yeah.
We all got the copies of who that was and what happened.
I forwarded a report on everyone that I called, and I forwarded it to the entire PNB.
When was that done?
The same?
I don't have it.
I will forward them
Chair,
right away.
Chair, a point of order. Are we voting or not?
Let me finish speaking, please.
We are voting.
It's not a permanent lecture for us, so I'm going to ask the question. Was it sent out, and when was it sent out?
I will forward them all to you. I made the calls the week after the board meeting and forwarded them as soon as I got them.
Madam Chair.
Okay.
This is out of order. We're in the middle of a vote. Let us.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
I asked a question.
Right.
I don't need to hear a lecture from him either.
Okay.
So I'm going to vote no until I see that report.
Okay. Thank you, AC.
Thank you.
David, Richard, can you give us the count, the vote count on this motion?
13 yes. 6 no.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes. We'll continue on with the agenda.
I'm back. Hear you.
Pardon me?
It's LaVarne. I just said I'm back. I stepped away.
Okay, thank you, LaVarne.
You're welcome.
The next thing on the agenda is the report from the IED.
Madam Chair, this is Richard.
Yes.
I'd like to make a point of information, if that's correct. Anybody that has a motion, please send it to me by my email. I sent y'all my email, and if you don't have it, I can send it to you. But send me the wording of your motion so that I get them correct, if you would, please. Thank you.
Thank you,
Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay, now I'd like to give my report as acting IED. I sent this to you all in writing. I'll try to move through it as quickly as possible. I got a really good quote from Roy Tuckman, who's a KPFK 30-year veteran programmer, and it's from Lou Hill. And the quote is, "When in crisis, expand." So the first thing I'd like to tell you about is the national office. I've spent a lot of time speaking with LaVarne Williams, our interim CFO, who's been at the national office working to complete the audit, to tie up loose ends, work on gathering info for financial reports, et cetera. We've worked together on correspondence that needed to be sent out rapidly, and, of course, LaVarne will give us all a report herself. As Pacifica has urgent legal matters to be dealt with, I've spent a lot of time since our last meeting interviewing and considering candidates for interim Pacifica General Counsel. I'm happy to announce that on Monday, February 16th, I engage Ricardo Deanda as IGC. He comes highly recommended by KPFT Treasurer Alberto Luera. He'll introduce himself to us later on in this meeting. As far as the stations go, at the beginning of the week, I sent an email to our five GMs requesting both emergency and short-range plans for improving income and reducing expenses. Lem emailed me an emergency plan and a short-range plan, both of which I feel are excellent. I sent you her email a couple of days ago. Some of the other GMs sketched out their plans over the phone, and I expect them in writing soon. I've been meeting with the general managers, the national technical director, the archives director, affiliates director, and interim CFO on Thursday mornings. I have some information from them about their fund drives and plans. KPFK is currently in the middle of a fund drive. As of yesterday morning, the total was between $500,000 to $600,000. Their goal there is $1 million. This is proving to be a tougher drive than the fall fund drive. Sean Heitkemper, KPFK GM, mentioned that the top premium this drive so far was a DVD by Adam Curtis, who produced DVDs entitled The Power of Nightmares and The Trap. Sean has extended the drive so that the goal of $1 million will be reached. That's the intention of KPFK, to keep the drive running until February 27th, I believe, which is an extension of 5 or 6 days over the original plan. KPFT's most recent drive raised $230,000, which was $70,000 short of its goal. The goal for this drive in the KPFT fiscal year 2009 budget was $300,000, budgeted at an 80% fulfillment rate. KPFT currently has $240,000 cash on hand with a monthly overhead of $100,000. Dwayne Bradley, KPFT GM, plans on a mid-March mini drive, also a giant tent event for their 39th birthday party, which should draw 1,000 people and generate $20,000 of unbudgeted income. Also, KPFT is planning on an event in mid-April when Amy Goodman will be in Houston for a book tour. Dwayne expects another $7,000 to $10,000 in proceeds from that event. Additionally, the KPFT local station board has been calling lapsed major donors. That project has been successful and will be continued. KPFA completed a fund drive a few days ago. The drive was about 15% short of budget. The goal was $850,000. The total raised was $710,000, and 15% of that was raised on the last day. The drive will be short about $130,000 after collecting online pledges. KPFA budgets its drives at an expected 88 to 90% fulfillment. As their fulfillment is higher than the other stations, I asked Lemlem, who's the GM at KPFA, what KPFA is doing to achieve that high a fulfillment rate. She said it's because they bill right away and push for credit card donations. KPFA will also be calling lapsed donors. Off-air efforts will be used to make up 60 to 75% of the shortfall because of the poor showing in the fund drive. For the rest, expenses will have to be reduced. KPFA has a backup plan to do a mini on-air drive in March if absolutely necessary. Also, there will be a birthday and anniversary event in April. 15 to 20% of fund drive income at KPFA is currently from online donations. WPFW's most recent fund drive was $375,000, about $70,000 short of its budgeted goal of $450,000. This drive follows a fall fund drive that was under budget. The cumulative fund drive shortfall at WPFW is now $170,000. Ron Pinchback, WPFW's GM, said that they have two events planned, a Women's History Month event in March and a Malcolm X birthday event in April. Ron also said WPFW will be working on making budget adjustments. There was no report from WBAI, as Tony Riddle was not able to attend the Thursday GM meeting. A few other little tidbits here. The National Federation of Community Broadcasters Conference will be attended by Ursula Rudenberg, our affiliates director, Brian DeShazer, archives director Dwayne Bradley, KPFT GM Lemlem Reggio, KPFA GM, and Sean Heitkemper, KPFK GM. And that'll be in April, early April in Portland, Oregon.
Grace, now, this is Jamie.
Yes. Are we out of time?
You had 5 minutes. I think it's up.
Okay, can I have another minute or minute and a half just to go over the three other items? I'll read as quickly as possible. Is that okay with the body? All right, let's go for it.
Objection.
Okay. And Al Jazeera, there's been some discussion about carrying Al Jazeera's half-hour per day news program on our stations. However, neither LeVarne Williams nor I have been briefed on it. We'll report on this later when we're fully briefed. There will be an April Pacifica National Board meeting at the end of April in Berkeley, California. KPFA is the host station. their sexual harassment training. I informed the GMs and other staff on the call that I had with them on Thursday morning that online sexual harassment training should be fully implemented within a short time at all stations, the national office, and other units. This form of training has been very successful at KPFK and the national office, and that's all I have for you. I would like to go on now.
This is Leslie. Do we have time for questions?
I don't think we have time in the agenda for questions. I'm sorry about that. Maybe at the end of the meeting we'll be able to do that. The next thing on the agenda is introduction of and a report from our interim general counsel. Ricardo, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'd like to introduce Ricardo DeAnda, our interim general counsel for Pacifica. Hello, Ricardo.
Hi. Thank you very much for allowing me an opportunity to introduce myself, Grace.
You're welcome.
I'm Ricardo DeAnda. I practice in Texas and in California. I have an office in Laredo, Texas, and I have an office in San Francisco. I live in San Francisco. I own a house. My wife lives in San Francisco. My daughter lives in San Francisco. I also have a home in Texas. I split my time between California and Texas. My law practice has been ongoing for 35 years. I recently started an office in San Francisco about 3 years ago. However, most of my experience has been in Texas. I wanted to relate to you something I consider unique about my experience with Pacifica. I used to be an editor and reporter for an alternative newspaper in Austin when I was a student at the University of Texas called The Rag. It was an anti-war, anti-establishment, anti-racism newspaper. And one of our sister newspapers, you guys from Houston may remember them, by the name of Space City, was very close to us. And in the late 60s, early 70s, Pacifica was announcing that it was going to start a station in Houston. We were very involved in fighting the Klan at that time, and lo and behold, before Pacifica was able to start getting on the air, they had their transmitter blown up. It was bombed by the Klan. And of course, we were all over that story. And amazingly, of course, Pacifica did eventually get back on the air, but amazingly, they invited the Klan to have a show on Pacifica. We were aghast. About 3 or 4 weeks later, the Klan bombed their transmitter again. And then, of course, the Klan was off the show thereafter.
I never heard that before. That's interesting.
We were bombed twice. So you guys were bombed twice in Houston.
We've heard that.
And the Houston Police Department was riddled with the Klan at that time, as was the Sheriff's Department. And it was my experience with the Klan that inspired me to go to law school. So getting hired by Pacifica, even as an interim basis, is like a full circle for me. And so I have a lot of gratitude to Grace and the members of the board for giving me an opportunity to work with you. I was raised on the border. I went to undergraduate school at Indiana University, graduated in history, went to University of Texas for graduate school, got a degree in Latin American literature, and then went to law school at Stanford, and I sat for the California bar in 1974. I worked for the Mexican American Legal Defense Fund for almost 3 years in San Francisco, handling prisoner rights lawsuits, voting rights lawsuits, and I moved to Texas, still working with MALDEF, handling their school desegregation lawsuits, bilingual education lawsuits, and voting rights lawsuits. At that time, Texas was still segregated in the late 70s. And that was how I cut my teeth in legal practice. We established a civil rights law firm, survived on attorney's fees in sex discrimination, racial discrimination lawsuits. That led us into representing our adversaries, who then hired us to give them legal advice. Represented cities, counties, school districts, churches, nonprofits, corporations, public transit authorities, housing authorities, and we still do. Much of what we do is similar to what Pacifica's needs are, which is to advise governing and nonprofit entities on any legal or other bureaucratic matters that might come up in conducting their business. I guess that's about what I have. Other than discussion that I would like to have with you in an executive session regarding my initial observations on your litigation. So unless you have any questions, I'm done.
I have a question.
Yes. Okay, Sherry.
Yes. Did you work at MALDEF when?
I worked with MALDEF between 1974 and 1977 in San Francisco.
And was Mike Mendelson with them at the time?
Who?
Mike Mendelson.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
We have a lot. We have extensive experience in litigation. We've had success representing plaintiffs in complex litigation, and have also defended defendants in employment discrimination suits, discrimination suits, and so forth. However, the role that I see, and it could change, is primarily to be your general counsel and not be your litigating counsel. And not because we can't do it, we do that extensively. And there may be circumstances where it may be appropriate to do that, but I see our role more as keeping you informed of what's going on and managing the litigation.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Before I take other questions, there's somebody who's chewing on something crunchy, which sounds delicious, but if there's any way to mute your phone, it would be good. But don't try to mute on the call, because we can't mute without kicking ourselves off. Any other questions for Ricardo?
I have a little question. Probably isn't that relevant. How long ago was this when you were fighting the Klan?
Is this Rico?
Yes, it's Rico.
Hi,
Rico. This was in the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, right.
Long time ago.
Thank you.
This is Sandra.
Yes, Sandra.
It's not really a question. I just want to say thank you to Ms. Deanda for being willing to step in, step up to the plate and help us traverse these murky waters that we're dealing with. So thank you.
Question. Okay, Lizette. Welcome, Mr. Deandra, is it?
Deanda.
Okay, welcome. Deanda.
Thank you.
Very impressed. I'm very impressed with your experience. It seems to be very well balanced. Have you had a chance to look at the without going into details, have you had a chance to look at the challenges we're faced with at the moment, and what's your impression?
Yes, to answer your first question, yes, I have had an opportunity to look at some of the legal issues that you're facing now, and I would like to share those with you, but I'll prefer to do that in executive session, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Are there any other questions for Ricardo? Ricardo, I have a question myself. Did you? I managed to kick myself off this call for about a minute and a half. Did you explain how you live in San Francisco currently, although you have a thriving practice in Laredo? Can you explain the logistics of that for us and how that would how you can still serve us even though your main practice is in Laredo?
Sure. My main practice in Laredo is, as Grace mentioned, and there's two lawyers. We have 10 support personnel. We just opened an office in San Francisco. I'm the only partner that has a California license, so I'm in charge of the San Francisco office. I have rented office space in the financial district at 735 Montgomery Street, which is on the corner with Jackson Street, for those of you familiar with the Bay Area. It is not a large operation. I have some part-time people that take care of ministerial things when I'm not here. But our main operation is in Texas. I fly back and forth, usually 3 weeks in Texas, 3 weeks in San Francisco. But of course, that changes depending on the circumstances. That's part of my that's part of the expenses of running my office, and it's not an expense that Pacifica would bear. If I'm in Texas and I'm needed in California, well, that's part of my commute, and that's on my bill.